Random House Audio presents How to Wow. Proven strategies for presenting your ideas, persuading your audience, and perfecting your image. This is the author, Francis Cole Jones. Introduction. How often have you left an interview, a meeting, a presentation, an audition thinking, "That's it, I nailed it," only to discover you didn't get the job, the client, the account, the funding, the part? Alternatively, how often have you left for the bad case of the if-onlys? For me, there's nothing worse. And today, due to the speed of the world we live in, these thoughts are compounded by the fact that we're rarely off duty. An elevator ride with our CEO turns into an impromptu presentation, our lunch date becomes a job interview, our conversation at a cocktail party sets the stage for a potential business merger. But what if I told you that it's possible to be far more in command of how you're perceived than you currently realize? That you have far more control in situations that are seemingly out of your control than you know? That there are proven strategies that will leave your audience, interviewer, or whomever you are aiming to impress thinking, "Now that's someone I want to work with." The name of my company is Cole Media Management, and I'm hired on a daily basis by individual clients and corporations to teach their executives and employees these valuable strategies. Over the years Cole Media Management has been in business, I have met with hundreds of clients across a spectrum of industries, preparing for everything from job interviews to sales meetings, appearances on Oprah to IPO roadshows where they'll be asking for $1 billion, yes, that B is correct, dollars. Every client, every situation is, of course, different. But, regardless of the details of the situation, if you aren't getting the response you want or expect, you need to look at your message and, just as important, at how you are expressing that message. Often with just a few adjustments, you can go from a near miss to a slam dunk, from a "that was nice" presentation to one that knocks their socks off, from a mediocre meeting to one that fires up each and every participant. The thing is, when you want to make a good impression, no detail is too small. No amount of advanced preparation is too much. No word choice is unimportant. The shirt you wear, the chair you sit in, the thank you note you write afterward should all be carefully considered and ultimately compound the impression of someone who's calm, confident, and in command. I present the information in How to Wow in a concise search and destroy format to make it easy for you to find the information needed in your situation: meeting, lunch, job interview, speech, PowerPoint presentation, so you can begin employing it and enjoying the benefits of it immediately. Then, when there's time to browse, you can wend your way through the other sections. The strategies I offer come from a spectrum of modalities and, aside from the general principles discussed in Chapter 1, the information I offer my clients and you is yours to pick and choose from. There are no rules because I recognize that, as with my clients, each of you comes to the table with a unique set of attributes and circumstances. More important, I know each of you is smart enough to know what will work for you in your circumstances, what will help give you the confidence to speak your mind in a meeting, motivate your team under deadline, or negotiate your business deal over pasta puttanesca. I will know I've succeeded when you begin to doubt your doubts, to be confident in your confidence. Because when you are free to be enthusiastic, committed, authentic. The you that you know yourself to be when you're at your best. Because that's where the wow is. Chapter 1. Don't leave home without them. The non-negotiable general principles. I began presenting myself early and, if I remember correctly, somewhat reluctantly. When my siblings and I were in the age ranges of 3 to 6, my father would line us up in the living room before a cocktail party and make us practice shaking hands with him before the guests arrive. The Von Trapp family had nothing on us. I still remember him looming over me, pumping my hand up and down while saying, "Look me in the eye, look me in the eye, look me in the eye." While I may not have enjoyed those impromptu personal presentation sessions, their effect was beneficial. To this day, I have a super handshake and definitely look people in the eye when I greet them. As with looking someone in the eye, there are elements to presenting yourself that are non-negotiable. Regardless of the situation, these fundamentals are necessary in order to make a strong and lasting impression. Whether you are presenting to 1 or 100, at lunch, on the phone, with a speech or PowerPoint presentation, they will always be beneficial. These non-negotiable principles are presented here. If you listen to nothing else in this audiobook, incorporating these foundational elements into your daily communication and interaction will guarantee instantaneous, positive results in how people respond to you. Dearly beloved data lovers, the following statistic from a study done by Albert Mehrabian, Professor Emeritus of Psychology at UCLA, is among the first things I tell every client. Known as the 7-38-55% rule, it states that there are three elements to any face-to-face communication: words, tone of voice, and body language, and we are influenced by these things as follows. 7% of our influence comes from the words we say, 38% from our tonal quality while saying it, 55% by what our body is doing while we're saying it. What does this mean? So often we think presentation and communication are about the words we say. In fact, it's often far more about how we say them and what our body is doing while we're saying them. For example, we've all been introduced to the person who says, "Nice to meet you," with a fishy hand, a nominal smile, and an over-our-shoulder to see if someone more interesting, important, attractive is coming in the room gaze. Contrast that with meeting someone who's genuinely delighted to meet you. Same words, very different message. My goal in telling you this is to help you begin to consider the global impact of your message, to understand the importance of managing every aspect of your presentation style. Knowing that listeners often remember just 7% of the words you say will remind you to choose language that's precise, colorful, and concise. Knowing that 38% of your impact comes from your tonal quality will reinforce the importance of having your tone match your message, be authoritative, commanding, persuasive, entertaining, etc., depending on your objective. Knowing that 55% of your impact comes from what your body is doing while you're speaking will encourage you to focus on how you can best express commitment to and enthusiasm for what you are saying through your facial expressions, posture, and gestures. Breaking down your message in this way makes it much easier to figure out what you need to do to capture your listener's attention. You can ask yourself, is my language flabby? Do I sound happy when I'm giving good news and genuinely sorry when I'm apologizing? If I were on television and the sound was off, would someone walking by the TV know from my body language that I was enthusiastic about or committed to what I was saying? As with anything, the first step to creating effective change is awareness. Now that you have a greater understanding of the factors in play when you present yourself, you can begin to pick and choose, strengthen or minimize, bump up or play down each element to achieve the results you desire. Tell me a story. As children, we all felt the power of storytelling, its ability to transport us to another place and time. As adults, we feel it when we're in the grip of a masterful book or movie. Using stories when speaking has the same effect on your listeners and the added bonus of helping you retain and commit to the message you want to deliver. Two of the most frequent questions I get from new clients are, how can I get rid of filler words like and and what should I do with my hands? Embedding their answers in stories solves both these problems. Think about it. When was the last time you were wrapped up in telling your best friend or coworker your latest grievance against your spouse or your boss and simultaneously using filler words or worrying about what your hands were doing? It's simply not possible. An important point to remember in this is that the story doesn't have to be long to be effective. I heard a great example of this on a morning talk show. The segment was "The Best New Minivans." The speaker said, "This minivan is so big, you can drive 6 kids to soccer practice, pick up some wood from the lumberyard on the way home, and build a treehouse with them that afternoon." Excellent storytelling, and not a stray to be found. How can you find the shorthand story that will make you memorable? The quickest way is to speak from your own experience, which will provide you with colorful, heartfelt examples, while simultaneously...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?